did. I do believe, right? Don't we? We haven't seen the babe in the manger. We haven't seen the suffering of Christ. Yet we know it happened. And we know in our lives, Jesus Christ lives there. Our lives are different. We've been changed. And the book of Acts, the day of Pentecost, is something that is so phenomenal that we just have to keep speaking it. And I want to continue in the book of Acts. And there's a great a section. Well, my theme verse is Acts 4:20. And it says, "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." Each one of us have received Jesus Christ as Lord in our lives. We have experienced that peace. We've experienced an understanding of what's going on in our lives. And when Bob talked about how this is a pretty crooked and perverse world that we're in, you know what? It was crooked and perverse when Jesus was there too. The devil hasn't stopped because he thought that he had the victory when they crucified Jesus Christ. But they didn't know he was going to be raised from the dead, and that he would send his spirit, the spirit of Christ within us, the comforter, the helper into our lives, that we could do the works that he did in greater works. So he got foiled. He got destroyed of his idea. And today, he throws up dirt in people's eyes. But what does the devil have but lies? He doesn't have any truth. So we have to look beyond the dust storms that are around us, and look at the truth. Because that's what, we have the victory today. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world, right? We heard the manifestations, and it's in 1 John. We have the Word of God to document our lives, who we are in Christ. If we just had to see what our parents saw and just sit in a church and wait for some leader to teach us, we could go astray. It has to become a part of us. So each one of us have a testimony. We have someone that does a testimony, a witness, but someone that's seen and heard what's going on, right? Well, we have seen and heard the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's our lives that are here to represent him and to share the light so the darkness can be dispelled. So we know that on the day of Pentecost, the culmination of all that was prophesied in Jesus Christ, that he would be the perfect seed, and that his life, he would give his life, and we would finally, through his death, resurrection, and ascension, that we would receive that spirit again that was lost in Adam. So with that spirit came power. Let's look at Acts chapter 1 first. We'll start there. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And these were the last words that Jesus said, "But ye shall receive power when the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and unto the ends of the earth," or the uttermost part of the earth, as the King James says. When we receive that power, we will be witnesses. There's people that have professions as expert witnesses for different things. Well, we are really an expert witness of who Jesus Christ was, what he came to do, and we have his power inside, that power, spirit within us. Jeannie's right here, love. I love that little guy. You know, before Pentecost, the apostles were behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. But we saw a change. What did we see? We can testify. There was a change. And I don't know if you've ever read a mystery novel where you get so excited that you just can't hold till the end to find out who the murderer was. So you have to just scan and go quickly and then read the end of the story. Well, I want to, before we get into Acts, because there's a section in Acts I want to share about how the Word of God moved. There's four principles in that. But before, I want to share in Acts chapter 4, of Peter. And what happened after he received the Holy Spirit and then he healed the lame man at the Gate Beautiful. And that made the Jews very upset. And I want to look at this because I think it will bring it all together, but I can't wait for you to go to wait for it. So we're going to go to it first. And let's go to Acts chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "Now as they spoke to the people, the priests and captains of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead." These leaders were upset that they were preaching Christ. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of them came to be 5,000 people. Just that witness of that healing in Acts chapter 3, the lame man who was 40 years lame, he asked, he was sitting at alms at the temple, asking for money and help, and Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And what did he do? Sit around and think, what shall I do about that? I was really looking for money. And no, he probably had heard about the day of Pentecost coming. Look at the woman with the issue of blood. She couldn't even get into the city, yet she heard what we cannot speak, but things we've learned, seen and heard. She heard that Jesus was come, the Messiah had come, and that healing was available. So she got her way into the town and was healed because she believed. So the word was getting, the multitudes were fed. Twice there was multitudes fed on fish, loaves, and bread. So the word was being spoken, and their witnesses were out there speaking. So 5,000 people received the word that day. Now on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 received. Well, the 12, and then 3,000, and then the 5,000. I'm an accountant. That's 8,012. Isn't that awesome? And what I want to show, in our lives, we can do that same thing. We can bring that one person. That one person can bring 10 people. But it's what we have seen and heard declare we unto you. So, and it came to pass on the next day that the rulers and elders and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. All of them had to get together because they had to figure it out, because not one could make that decision. It was a big deal. This never happened before. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" They're asking Peter and John. "What power, what name have you done this?" They heard, they were at the temple. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to the helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all of the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole." They didn't want to hear that. Remember when Jesus was healing on the Sabbath day, they wanted to stop him. And in John 5:39, Jesus said, "You search the scriptures, but you won't recognize me, and the scriptures testify of me." So they had the word. They looked like they were doing what was right, but they would not accept Jesus Christ. And he is the answer. "This is a stone which was rejected by your builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and untrained men. That's the wonderful thing about our Heavenly Father. We don't have to go to all these intensive schools. To learn how to speak in tongues, you got to have so many hours of education experience. You open your mouth. You believe. you believe the Lord Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, you became born again, you receive that Spirit inside of you. There's no education except believing the Word of God. So they saw that boldness. That's what people will see in us. And perceived that they were uneducated, untrained men. They marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. They saw the evidence that these men had been with Jesus. People see that light in us. They see that we were with Jesus. Because Jesus is in us. We carry him everywhere we go. God in Christ in us, everywhere we go. And they realized they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For indeed a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem." The word got out really quick. "And we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in his name." So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. And I love, this is my favorite. "But Peter and John answered and said to them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you be the judge.'" You know, put it on their lap. "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." That's the answer. We can only do the things that God has led us to do. And he has a personal plan for each one of us. All right. That was the answer. So let's go back and have some build up. "We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So on the day of Pentecost, Peter gave this amazing sermon. And I don't know when he had the time to figure it out. But it just came. And you know what? The Spirit says that, it says in the Word that it will remind us of the things that we have seen and heard. We will have, when we're ready to give an answer to someone, those words will be there. Because that's the Spirit. It's not about us. It's about God's will in our lives, the Spirit of God in our lives. So let's look at verse 40, chapter 2, verses, let's look at verse 41. We'll start there. "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." So what did they do after they had received? They heard the message, they received, 3,000 souls received. Others started thinking about it. I'm sure there were a lot more than 3,000 people there. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread and in prayers." And those are the four acts that we can do to move God's word. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And in Ken Petty's seminar, Laborers in God's Harvest, a Study of the Book of Acts, Reverend Ken Petty says, "The apostles' doctrine taught was the doctrine taught by the apostles that was what they had learned from their master. They taught the truth that salvation and eternal life were believing in Jesus Christ, not by works, going to church on Sunday and Wednesday or every day of the week or fasting, but Jesus Christ. They taught that salvation was by eternal life. We confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart God raised him from the dead. That's the doctrine they taught. This doctrine included the sufferings, death, resurrection, and ascension of their Lord. It included what he taught them about the Holy Spirit that they would receive. Jesus' doctrine was received from his Father. He said, "I cannot but do the things which my Father has taught me." The sound doctrine presented in the church epistles and the pastoral epistles written by Paul is the grace of God. That is the gospel we continue to preach, not of legalism. Anytime we focus on the works of men, we are moving away from sound doctrine. It is the love of God out of a pure heart and a good conscience and faith unfeigned that we preach and live by. Legalism replaces love with judging, condemnation, and hypocrisy. Today we must devote ourselves continually to the teaching of the Scriptures as set forth in the wonderful Word of God. We must teach what we have seen and heard. Each one of us have know plenty of Scripture. Even if it's one verse that you know, believe it, walk out on it. But we continue in the Word of God, not in the words of men. We don't continue in the newspaper, San Diego Union, or the web. No matter how conservative it is, there's still lies in there. But we continue in the Word of God, because that's the truth, and the truth sets people free. The second thing they did, they continually devoted themselves in fellowship. Fellowship is a Greek word, koinonia, which indicates a full sharing. They were with one heart and one soul. Let's look at 32. This is a great example of what their full sharing was. Acts 4:32. Acts 4:32. It says, "Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for those that were possessors of land and houses sold them. And brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet that they distributed to each as everyone had need." The fellowship the believers had together was built upon the fellowship that they had with the Father and with the Son. So they had all things common. Now, they didn't sell their house so they didn't have a house. Maybe they had a second house. There's no reason why they weren't prosperous. So they gave of their pluralities. They made sure that each one was taken care of. 1 John is an epistle of fellowship, great epistle there. And there's great joy in that fellowship. In Romans, it talks about how we are members of one body. That fellowship that we have is we're one body. And every member is important in that body. So we don't want to forsake the fellowship of one another. We need each other to encourage each other. Hebrews 10:24-25 says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love." The King James says provoke. It's kind of an interesting word, but stir up is what we're doing. We're stirring up like Betty Crocker would do, right, Dan? He's always teasing me that I'm a Betty Crocker. To stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see that day appearing, approaching. Until the Lord returns, we want to love on each other. We want to stir each other up to be the best that we can be, to recognize this, our identity as Christ in us, the hope of glory. The third thing that they did was they broke bread. They continued in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship in the breaking of bread. Breaking of bread was important in the customs and times of the Bible because it signified a commitment, a salting of their words, a bond of honor and willing to protect one another even unto death. We saw that when we were looking at the customs of biblical times, that when you ate with someone, you gave a bond there. When couples get married, they take a covenant of salt. Means what they say, they're going to say what they mean and mean what they say. When we eat together, we make a commitment to take care of each other. And there's that bond there. So that breaking bread is very important. Now, we've enjoyed our Wednesday night dinners because it's just an intimate time that we can chat and encourage each other and eat good food too. And the fourth thing they did is they devoted themselves continually to prayers. Prayer is the thing that's going to change. That they have Pentecost, when they received the Holy Spirit, they heard them speak in tongues and magnify God. Speaking in tongues is perfect prayer. It says that it helps us in our infirmities. What is the infirmity? Is that we don't always know exactly what to pray for, so God will, those words are either words of men or of angels, and those carry that message to the Father that what is the need. And he already knows. We just have to open our mouth. But that prayer this morning, Dagmar sent me a picture, sent a few of us a picture of, it said, prayer is the answer, something like that, and had the American flag on it. Oh, no, prayer changes everything. And she said that she was on her way up towards the Grapevine to see her sister, and she says they're posted all along the freeway going north. Isn't that wonderful? The devil wants us to think that Christians aren't taking a stand anymore. Christians are taking a stand. Jesus Christ is coming back for a victorious church. We have the victory. He's been defeated. We just have to keep reminding him. His end of the game, the outcome of the game is failure for him. But he doesn't want to, he wants to keep everyone deceived. But we know the truth. So we keep speaking of things which we have seen and heard, right? So we continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. And then there will be gladness and simplicity of heart. Let's verse 246. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and singleness of heart. That's singleness of heart or simplicity of heart, according to the New King James. That simplicity of heart means an undivided loyalty. We have an undivided loyalty to one another because we have the same Father. A family should stand up for each other, take care of each other. And we will be together for all eternity, and eternity is a lot longer than what we are on this earth. So if you don't like someone, enjoy loving them, because that's our responsibility. We stir up in love one toward another. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. That was the key. They continued in fellowship in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship with one another, the commitment of breaking bread together, and prayer. And our prayer team has seen remarkable things. We've seen miracles. We've seen lives change, and we continue to pray. It says in the Word, we pray without ceasing, and we pray in the Spirit, because we've been provided all that. Again, we haven't had good enough. Any education to learn that, except the honesty of God's word. So I encourage you to stand boldly on the things which you have seen and heard. Declare God's word. Declare that the enemy has failed. And stand faithful to the word of God, because we are a family and we need each other. And the word of God will grow and continue until the Lord returns. So Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time that we can see the greatness of your word. I thank you that we have that testimony within each one of us, that spirit, that Christ fulfilled everything so that we could have that connection with you. I thank you for the fellowship of the saints, that we can come together and be like-minded, have that love for one another, and that we can have healing and deliverance for anything that we have. I especially pray for each one of us for healing from the top of our heads to the soles of our feet. I thank you for the healing of Matt's bicep, and I thank you for all those that need healing this day. I thank you for your son coming quickly, but until he comes, that we can have the holy boldness to speak your word and love one another. Let love be the thing that brings us all together. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.